The following is a part of the Radio Memphis On Demand service. It originally aired live on Radio Memphis and has been edited for time.
There you have it. That was a nice little double shot for you from our Artist of the Month for Radio Memphis Around the World, right here at radio-memphis.com. Ego Kill Talent. And what you just heard right there, Heroes, Kings, and Gods, and right before that, My Own Deceiver. Now look, here is a band that was pointed by Google as one of the 20 most relevant Brazilian artists for 2017. All right? That is huge, okay? And this is going to be one of those things where, you know, you really kind of want to pay attention to. I have enjoyed really learning about the band, and of course Radio Memphis has thoroughly enjoyed sharing the music with all of you guys right here, you know, on Radio Memphis. And you know, and before we got into it, you know, these guys, you know, they're all talented, obviously they're all somewhat veterans in the scene, but they wound up really bringing back out that do-it-yourself spirit when you're talking about the music they put out with Ego Kill Talent. And of course, you know, the title itself is Ego Will Kill Talent. And of course, that was a moniker they actually decided to choose because they wanted everybody to realize that all of them together collaboratively and collectively make this music happen. And what's really cool about all of this, this is a band, Jean Dolabella is on drums and guitar. He was a former member of Sepultura. You got Jonathan Dorr, who's on vocals. You got Rafael Miranda, drums and bass. You've got Niper Boa Ventura, you know, who's also on guitar and bass, as well as Theo van der Loo, who is on bass and guitars. And as I promised you, you guys, I promised that the band would be checking in. Well, I've got Theo, okay? I've got Theo checking in all the way from Brazil right here on Radio Memphis with me. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and bring Theo on. Hi, honey. How are you?
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, how are you?
I am wonderful. Thank you so much for checking in with us here. And ladies and gentlemen,
oh, thank you for being playing our music and all. So cool.
I am so thrilled. And you know, it's so funny because when I started playing your music, I actually, and I tell everybody this, I got hip to you guys through a mutual friend who is from Memphis, who is part of the Shinedown crew, okay? He is part of the Shinedown Road crew and stuff like that, Mr. Matt Healy. So I have to give Matt a big shout out.
Cool.
I'm sorry?
I said Matt is super cool. He's amazing.
He is. And what was so funny is that every time because, you know, Matt does a lot of different stuff, you know, not just for the guys in Shinedown. He goes out with, you know, different groups and stuff. And every time he comes home, obviously, you know, he comes and checks in and he comes and sits with me. And I always ask him, I'm like, all right, so what'd you see out there? Who's doing what? What's up? Do I need to paying attention to something? And over the summer when everybody was doing their UK tours, you know, so he comes back in and he was like, look, Ego Kill Talent. He goes, D, you've got to see him. He goes, they were just so fantastic. He goes, and the music.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And it was like, all right. And hence how we were able to get in touch with you guys. And you guys were kind enough to start sending some music. And, you know, the more I kind of dove into learning about you, the more I was like, I wanted to feature it. You know, I wanted to share it with everybody. And, you know, Theo, it was very important because you guys come from a very, very cool place in your heart.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
No problem.
Yeah, Matt is the best. I mean, we had a great time with the whole Shinedown crew and band. We toured Europe in the European summer. It was June and July.
Yeah.
And, it was a blast. It was so cool. And Matt was super supportive, and you know, when you are supporting a bigger band, bigger act,
yes,
and we are always like, okay, let's see how we're gonna be treated, you know, because at the end it's like we are here to warm up the audience for the big guys, you know.
Absolutely.
And Shinedown, they were super cool to us since day one.
Awesome.
I remember that before we went on tour with them.
Yeah.
Coincidentally, we played a couple festivals together, which was Rock and Ring and Rock and Park in Germany.
Uh-huh.
So I saw the guys Shinedown. They were like having lunch, and then I just introduced myself, and the whole band and crew, like, immediately, they were super nice. They spoke, thank you so much for being on board. Your band is amazing. So it was great. It was great. We had a great time with them.
That is so important, you know, and it's so funny because, you know, Theo, how, you know, you talk about how important it is, you know, for how people are going to treat you. And here's the thing, you know, you guys, Eagle Kill Talent, it's not like you guys are not necessarily new to the game, but, you know, this Eagle Kill Talent is a group that you guys are developing and, you know, wanting to put together. And it's almost this group is a little bit different styles than all of you've done separately, that you've guys come together and go, this is what we want to do. So when you get with these bigger bands and you sit down and you're like, okay, how are they going to treat us? You know, what does it do to your attitude when you know that you're being treated well? But what also does it do to your attitudes when you guys feel like you're being treated like crap? You know, what does it do to you?
Yeah, well, you know, one thing that I, that we learned, it's like you said, we came from different bands, so all of us had a lot of experience in the past with touring with other bands as well, and bigger bands.
Sure.
And one thing that we learned is when you are playing with a bigger act, like Shinedown, like we did a big tour with Queens of the Stone Age and the Foo Fighters. I mean, when you play with bigger bands, what we learn is that if right in the beginning you show that you are humble and that you are very thankful for being there and
nice.
That you're not there to mess anyone's life, you just want to be as helpful as you can.
Nice.
When you make that clear from the beginning, people respect that and they treat you well. And what we learned is that, and it's pretty impressive, but I'm sure if you speak with Matt about it, you're going to tell the story. But sometimes the support act, they treat the bigger band as, you know, you're okay, you know, this kind of stuff. So
okay,
yeah, it's crazy, but there are bands out there like that. I won't mention names, okay?
No problem. But, no problem.
Yeah, we played some shows with System of a Down.
Ah, nice.
Yeah, last year, and in one in a couple of the shows there were another support band, and it was the case. I mean, I could see that they were just a support band as the same thing as we were, you know.
Yeah,
we were
right,
in the
right.
same spot. But they were already treating us like, yeah, we are a little bigger, you know. And I'm like, I don't even know you, you know. But
okay,
it's crazy, you know? It gets to the people's head. It's and I think it's very destructive, actually, this kind of attitude.
You know, and it's funny, Theo.
Yeah,
I was going to say, it's funny because, you know, with you being in Brazil and you're talking about some of these shows that you're talking about are going over to the UK. And of course, you know, you're talking to Memphis, you know, the US right now. You guys, over there, you know, you have so many of these different opportunities for these huge festivals, okay? And, you know, and how hard is it for some of the younger bands when I say younger, not necessarily in age, but, you know, newer bands, you know, to jump on as support acts for these bigger groups? I mean, how hard is it for them to do that?
You know, Diana, I think it's a mix of different stuff, you know.
Okay.
Those opportunities happening. It's, well, first of all, and I always say that when people ask us, like, hey, why do you think you guys are getting so much stuff done?
Mm-hmm.
I think that the most important thing is that your music is true to you, you know?
Right.
Whatever you do, whatever kind of music, it can be rock or hip-hop or whatever you're doing, you gotta touch you, you know? You gotta feel touched when you listen to your own music. So we work a lot when we're writing songs, and we always try to push ourselves to the next level, in the sense that, like, right now we are writing some new stuff,
right?
And so we write a song, we record the idea. We are lucky enough to have a studio, so that helps.
Nice.
So we record the idea, and then, like, in the next week we listen to it again and we go, like, can we push this even a little further, you know? And we are always pushing it until we get to a point that we go, like, oh shit, I feel like I want to cry listening to my own music.
Oh,
you know,
because beautiful.
And so this is number one. Your music gotta be true to you, you know. Same thing with the lyrics. That's what I believe. So I believe that when your music and your lyrics are meaningful to you, I mean, express something that you believe in.
Sure.
I think this touch people, you know, this the message got across somehow, for some reason. If I put down a message that it's true to me and touches me, when you listen to this on the other side of the globe, it's gonna touch you somehow, you know,
right,
that I can't even explain.
Wow.
So I think this makes things happening, because then when people listen to your music, like promoters or managers, agents, other bands, when they listen to it, I think somehow they can feel that you are for real, you know?
Right.
And And it's not about being good. I'm not trying to say we're good musicians. I'm just saying we try to express something real for us, you know?
Absolutely. So absolutely.
I think this is the number one thing. And then work hard. I mean, work hard on the recording process, work hard with the videos, work hard with making new good network, you know, meeting people, being nice to people.
Nice.
And I think it's sweat, love, and work. That's it.
Sweat, love, and work. Well, that right there is so funny because it sounds magical. Like everybody thinks there's a secret formula, Theo. You know what I mean? And yeah. and it's like it's not really that secret.
Yeah, you're right. You're totally right. Yeah.
You know, and for you now, okay, for Ego Kill Talent. As we were talking earlier and as I was bringing you into the interview, and you know, for those of you that have tuned in, you know, we're checking in, Artist of the Month, Ego Kill Talent out of Sao Paulo, Brazil. And of course, I'm talking to Theo Vanderloo, you know, who plays bass and guitars, who's throwing some very cool information for you unsigned and indies that you definitely need to pay attention to. You guys, all of you get together. How is that story? Because, you know, again, you guys were playing all in these different bands, and actually doing very well. But I was trying to do some research, Theo, and it almost looked like you all of you kind of came at a crossroads at the same time. Is that what happened?
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's a crazy story, one of those full circle stories, because we know each other for years, and we were friends before we ever decided to play together.
Okay.
So I used to have a band with Rafael.
Okay.
And Rafael would play, and it's cool. I'm gonna tell the story, and then you're gonna end up also explaining why we switch instruments.
Okay. That would be great. Yeah.
Because we like you said, you know, I play bass and guitar. Jean played drums and guitar. Rafael played drums and bass. And the full story is this. Me and Rafael, we used to play in a band called Sayoa.
Okay.
And we recorded in the famous studio in Rio de Janeiro back in 2003, I think. Oh. Yeah, I think it was 2003 or 2002, something like that.
Okay.
So we were recording there, and right when we finished recording it, Jonathan, with his old band, which is Canção em Cadeia, which is a big band here in the south of Brazil, he went to record in the same studio. And then the owner of the studio said, he called me one day, he said, there's this guy singing here, and I think you should check it out because he's just really good.
Oh, okay.
So I went there to the studio, just introduced myself, said, look, Andre, who's the owner of the studio, he just called me, he said I should check out your band, so I'm here. So we became instant friends. This was back 2003.
Oh, wow.
And I checked. It was very impressive. I think Jonathan is an amazing singer. And we connected right away. I mean, we became instant friends. And most of our talks were about what we say in the lyrics right now. We were already back then talking about questions of lies, you know, like philosophical stuff.
Yeah.
We would show stuff. You know, that's just the kind of stuff we like talking to this day. The lyrics are very much about that. And so we were talking about that, and we became instant friends.
Wow.
Like 2 months after that, Sepultura went to record in that same studio.
Oh. So
this was all the same year. Again, the owner of the studio called me and said, look, we were close friends, me and the owner of the studio. He said, Sepultura is recording here for a whole month. I think you guys should connect because you're doing some heavy shit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're having fun in Brazil. So, same thing, went back to that studio, connected the guys at Sepultura, immediately became friends. So, in that moment, Jonathan was like a friend who lived far away, so we were always talking on the phone because he used to live in a very south area of Brazil. Brazil is huge, as you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So we were like, and back then there were no, no cell phones.
No.
You know? So it was like, it was like calling and leaving a message to his mom, and he would call me back, you know.
Right, right.
And yeah, so this was how it was happening in that moment. And so back to Sepultura. Sepultura was still with Igor on the band, so we toured with them, and Andreas offered to produce our band that me and Rafael had back then. He did produce the band.
Wow.
And Igor left, and then we toured with Jean already on the drum. So that was how we met, Jan.
Well, see, you know, it's so funny, Theo, because what you just described was the importance of the relationship you had with the studio owner that was your friend. And he reached out. He reached out and said, "Hey, you need to come meet this person. Hey, you I think you need to meet this person and stuff." And this is very strategic, and you don't even realize this because you're like, "Hey, you're just wanting to see if you guys connect." And so that's very important.
Yeah, you're totally right. And I really believe in, like I said, in the relationships and being and treat everyone kind, you know, because that's how we connect the dots.
Perfect.
And I'm still very close friends with the studio owner. To the studio doesn't exist anymore. He sold it. It was like piece of land, a big piece of land. But we're still close friends. So, well, back to the story. We toured with Sepultura with Gian on the drums and became close friends. And, well, fast forward a few years. Me and Rafael, the band that we used to have, we're still friends, but we end up breaking up because me and Rafael moved to São Paulo and the rest of the band decided to stay in Rio.
I got you.
So the band broke up. I was doing other things with my life. I was actually a festival promoter. I used to promote shows in Brazil.
Oh, good for you. Okay.
We did some big stuff like Rage Against the Machine, you know, Linkin Park. We did some big shows here.
Wow.
As a promoter. But I was kind of sad, you know, because I was like meeting artists and meeting managers and agents, and I was like, shit, I wish I was in a band.
Yeah.
That kind of feeling.
Yeah, I bet it did.
And this was it was a little bit frustrating for me, but I was like, okay, you know, that part of my life it's done, it's gone. It didn't work out for me. That was what I thought, but I was in peace with that, you know? So Gian one day called me and he said, "Hey, Theo, are you still living in São Paulo?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Yeah, can you meet up for a coffee or something? I just left Sepultura. I feel like I would like to talk, you know." "Yeah, sure." So we went out for a coffee. He basically said, he explained to me why it wasn't make sense for him in Sepultura at that point. And I understand. We are still friends with everybody in the band. But it wasn't make sense for him. And I think he already wanted to do something where he could express himself, and
I see.
He was not a founder of Sepultura, you know, so
right.
I think he wanted to put out something of his own, and I related to that, and he said, "Okay, where are your guitars? Let's jam," you know. I said, "Man, I don't even know where my guitars are. I borrowed them to friends, guitar amplifiers. I don't have anything anymore." He was like, "Are you fucking crazy, man? Just get all that back. Let's jam." So literally, I start calling friends in Rio. I was living in São Paulo already. I was like, "Hey, bro, it's my Explorer in your house. It's my 5V at your house. Where is my Mesa Boogie?" You know, so it was literally borrowed to friends all over. So I just, because I believe that instruments are made to be making music. So
wow.
I, at some point, I thought, you know, if I'm not playing the guitar, I'm just going to borrow to someone who will play it and make music with it.
Well, yeah.
It was my feeling. So I just called everyone back. I said, "Look, man, I need it back. I'm going to make music again." So I went to Rio, I picked it up, the whole gear, came back to São Paulo, start jamming with Gian, start putting out some music, and we were like, "Hey, this is actually good. I think we're doing some good stuff."
And then I love it.
Rafael came and said, Rafael, who used to play with me in that other band, he came and said, "Man, what you guys are doing are awesome. I want to be part of it." And we were like, "Yeah, but Gian is already on the drums. So how are we going to manage this?" Rafael said, "Look, you need a bassist. I can play bass. I don't care. And let's do this. I'm just going to play bass." I said, "Okay, cool." So we start like doing Rafael on the bass, me on the guitar, Gian on the drums. And then one day, Gian picked up the guitar and he had a good idea on the guitar. And Rafael was like, "You want me to drum for you so you can play your idea?"
Oh.
And yeah. And then I just grabbed the bass. And we were like, "Okay, we switch instruments. So let's see how that works." And it worked well. And
wow.
We were like, "Okay, this can be interesting, you know." And at that point, we had another guitar player in the band. So we were a four-piece without a singer. And we start switching instruments just because of what I just explained it to you. Because at some point, maybe Gian would have an idea on the guitar and Rafael would be on the drums, or I could have an idea on the guitar and then Gian would play the drums, or even Gian could come with an idea on the guitar.
Right.
And he would teach me and he would say, "I want to play drums on this one." So we start just, you know, to switch instruments like that.
That's perfect.
And I'm going to tell you, sorry?
I said, that's perfect. I think that's great.
It was awesome. And we were like, we should bring this live whenever we find a singer. Keep in mind, we didn't have a singer back then. We were like, whenever we find a singer, we should do this live. And then one day, and this is it's a very nice part of the story. I know John Bomayan from System of a Down.
Oh, nice.
I know him for quite a while. We're like really close friends, you know, like family friends.
I'm friends
with his family, he's friends with my family. We are close. And John didn't know I have a band. And because when I met John, I was already like on the promoter phase of my life.
I see.
Right? So he didn't even know I played. So one day, John came to Brazil to spend vacations with me, holidays with me, and just took him out for lunch. And then I said, look, man, I have a surprise for you. He said, what? I said, we're going to go to a studio now, and I'm going to show you my studio. I didn't say anything about the band. I'm going to show you my studio. He said, oh, you have a studio? I said, yeah, I have a studio. So I brought him to the studio, and he was like, oh, man, your studio is killer. It's really cool. And introduced him to the guys. And I said, look, the second surprise is those guys are my new band.
Perfect.
And then John was, he looked at me like he wanted to kill me, because he was like, I know John, he's a very straightforward guy, and he doesn't say things to please you.
Nice.
So the reason he looked with me with rage, and I knew it right away, was like, Theo, if this is shit music, I'm going to tell you. That was what he was saying with his eyes.
Of course.
I said, look, man, just come in and listen to it. And he went to the studio, just played a couple songs, and he looked at me and said, man, what a relief. I thought he was going to play shit, but it's good.
Oh, like nice.
John was the first guy to ever see the band. He was John DeMaia from System of a Down, the first guy to ever see the band. So he was like, you guys are doing, I think you are doing good music. I thought, I was afraid I would have to tell you in your face that I didn't like it, but I fucking like it.
That is so amazing.
It was supposed to be just us playing for him for 20 minutes. End up, we playing together and jamming with John for like 6 hours, you know? And so John was very supportive. And to tell you the truth, that was the moment when I was like, okay, we can really make this happen, you know, because if this guy, who is one of the few rock headliners in any festival on the planet, if this guy is here and he's saying we're doing good music, I think we are on the right track.
You are on the right track. Yeah.
So, yeah. So that was very inspiring for us. And then we decided, that was when we decided, okay, let's make this a real thing. You know, that was the moment.
Wow.
And well, a couple of months after that, I called Jonathan, who was my friend for years. Again,
mm-hmm.
And I said, look, and I put this band together with John from Sepultura, and actually John from System just saw a rehearsal a couple months ago, and he liked what we were doing. And then Jonathan told me that he almost shit his pants when I told him all that. He said, do you want to be the singer? He said that, you know, in that moment, I almost shitted my pants. I was driving. I was like, holy shit.
Me?
I always knew that Jonathan wanted to be in a band singing in English.
Oh, so, my God.
Jonathan flew to Sao Paulo. We did a few tests with him. Was the only singer we ever tried. And that's the band.
That's the one. That is the one. What a man, Theo, what a fantastic story, though.
Yeah, it's cool, huh?
Yeah.
It's
and cool. This is what, you know, what's really cool is that you went through so many trials, you know, and so many hurdles, but at the same time, I noticed a theme here where you were kind of checking back in with people that you trusted and checking back in with people that, you know, you had an esteem for and you had real respect for. And it was like, look, you would tell me if this sucks, right?
Yeah, because, you know, at some point, I've been in bands, and sometimes only you are getting what you're doing and people are not getting, and that doesn't work, you know. Your music needs to transcend yourself, you know.
See,
so at some point we were like looking to each other before John went to the studio. We were looking to each other saying, guys, I think this is real good. Are we going crazy or is this real good? You know, we need to have some outside input, you know.
Perfect.
And and John was the man doing that.
Hey Theo, what would have happened if John told you that it was horrible? What would that have done to you?
Well, I think that's a good question. Well, I think maybe we try to reinvent stuff. Maybe we would try to, okay, let's try something different. Maybe we would try that. Or maybe, I don't think we would give up because we were just too excited.
Yeah. With the band. Yeah.
And also, at that point, we already even have a name. We already had a name back then. And we just really liked, because look, when we decided to name the band and to be a real band, we were like, okay, let's have a name that it's a statement that we believe in. We want, like, I don't want just a regular name. I want to be something that is a message by itself.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's how we came with the Eagle Cute Talent name, because we believe in that.
And absolutely.
So it's so much more than just the ego, the vanity ego. And it's just much more than just talent. It's about how you can sabotage yourself, you know, how you can be destructive to yourself. That's what the name is really about.
That is
perfect. And how you should always be watching for your worst part, you know.
That's perfect. And you know, I love it because the way that the band came around, you know, in terms of that everybody can sit in somebody else's seat and it doesn't matter. You could be the guitar player, you could be the bass player, you could be the drummer,
yeah.
You know what I mean? And it was all of you together are making this music and for lack of better words, it's like there's no rock stars in the band, you know, it's like everybody is making music. You know, we hope you like this.
It's already and I think it's an exercise. Like again, I'm not gonna mention names, but when you talk to some big band, they say, "Oh, it's always so hard when I'm the guitar player and I need to suggest something to the drummer because he gets like upset. Like, hey, I'm the drummer. What are you trying to suggest something to the drummer? You know?
Yeah.
And the other way around, like if the drummer tries to suggest something to a guitar player, he said, man, it's always so hard because it's like I'm trying to cross the boundary, you know?
Right.
And with us. And only when we heard that from other bands, then we realized, holy shit, we don't have that.
No, you don't.
Like, I don't even play drums, and I give suggestions of drumming all the time. And both Gian and Rafael, they're totally cool with that, you know? And it's like, we just drop off the character of the guitar player or the drummer, you know?
Right.
We don't have that character, you know? It's just, we're just all there for making this art, you know, and it doesn't matter who is doing what.
You guys are doing what's in the best interest of the song that you just created.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and it doesn't matter, and it's so everybody agrees. Like, okay, we need to, you know, add some couple extra beats right here, or we need to, you know, slow this down, or we need to add some bottom line to this. You know, we need to, and everybody's like, yeah, okay, all right, how are we gonna do that? Okay, you're the one that's playing bass right now, so do the, you know, and it's not about who's doing it. It's about this song needs this. This is what we're going to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's exactly it. And it's very fulfilling, you know, because you end up having something that it touches you.
That is very perfect. So you guys all get together and it's kind of, you know, Theo, it's kind of magical because everybody's in this state of mind, all right, about their music and about the way they are and about creating art. And at the same time, you guys are wanting to be very impactful about sending out a message, you know, to people. And so the lyrics dictate, you know, some type of theme or some type of mood. And from what I understand, you're telling me that a lot of these things came from conversations and came from things that you guys are wanting to accomplish and stuff. So things are really falling kind of into place for you all. And so you wind up going right out there, getting on some of the bigger tours and being the support act for some fantastic, you know, groups and stuff like that. And you kind of sit back. When you think about it, what's your plan? What's the band's plan? Because you're like, I mean, you guys came out of the gate hitting it. I mean, big time. What are the plans? What are the plans for you know, the music? What are the plans for the band? I mean, what are you wanting to accomplish here?
Well, next step right now, it's, in a general view, we just want to be playing music for the rest of our lives and doing stuff together.
Nice.
That's the main view, you know, and play with much people as we can and everywhere if we can.
Right.
But like the right next steps, it's we are writing the new material. We're gonna record it in LA.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Where are you going? Where are you guys recording in LA at?
I cannot say it yet.
Okay. No problem.
But I just can't because it's not the deal is not done.
Okay.
You know, but it's gonna be a very iconic studio in LA.
Nice. Very nice.
We are talking a few labels.
Okay.
And so the idea is to record early next year.
Okay.
We are writing songs. We just got invited to jump in a tour in Europe in November, and not sure if we're gonna do this because we are writing the songs, but we might do like 15 to 20 shows in November in Europe.
Very
and,
nice.
And well, we are very much focused on the album right now and writing the new stuff and thinking about the strategy to launch the next album. That's why we're talking to labels and all that.
Sure
yeah that's like the short term. We are very much focused in the writing process.
I got you. What I appreciate about you is that you gave me, and just so you understand, you know, for Radio Memphis, you know, we definitely support the Ensign, we support the indies, you know, we support major indies, you know, as far as on the station and everything else. And one of the things I like to do, I'm always trying to give out tidbits, and I'm always trying to give everybody kind of like that sense of worth as far as what it is that you're doing. And a lot of times, like, and it always sounds like I'm like having a lesson in school or something. You managed, Theo, you managed to bring out some very special positive points about just through your own experience of putting this band together, and you really focused on reaching out to these different people that had either had an impact on your life, an impact on your music, an impact on your career, and this goes back to ego, you know what I mean? It is so amazing to me, and I have to give kudos to you. It is so amazing to me how humble you were to be able to go to people and go, hey, what do you think? You know what I mean? And you know, it's almost like you guys know what lane you're in the terms of, okay, we can take that this far. We're looking at, you know, this new album. We're looking at this, you know, we're looking at doing this tour. We're looking at distribution stuff. So now we want to talk to so-and-so, you know? And it sounds so methodical for you. It sounds so natural for you. It sounds so like this is the way it goes. I find that a lot of people hit a wall and they have a hard time, you know, reaching out or having a hard time accepting that advice, you know?
Yeah.
Do you have advice on how to be, you know? It's one of those, because the problem is, you know, you've also been very fortunate to have some very cool people that have surrounded you in your career. You know, you've also got individuals out there that are really kind of getting started in stuff. And how do you know who to trust? How do you know who to work with? How do you know who to talk to when you're getting started?
Well, you know, then I think that this I got a lot from my dad. Actually, my father is the kind of person who he always gives trust to everyone until people prove he's wrong.
Ah,
you know? And I'm a little bit like that. I gotta tell you, I had some bad experience for being like this. Like, I trusted people that was not supposed to be trustworthy. You know, they were not trustworthy and not supposed to be trusted.
Yeah.
And I paid the price for that, like business-wise and this kind of stuff. But still, at the same time, if you put on a balance, I think that I end up collecting more true friends than bad experience. You know,
perfect.
And so, for me, was always I'm very interested. It's interesting. It's just something I have, you know. I'm genuinely interested in other people. Like,
yes.
When I talk to someone,
yes,
I'm interested in hear the story. You know, tell me your story. You know, I'm just like that.
Yes.
I study psychology in the university.
There it is.
You know,
this is okay.
You know,
absolutely.
So, like, for instance, like. Since we were talking about System of a Down, I'm very close to John and to Serge, you know, the singer and the drummer of System. And the reason I'm close to them, I think it's because since I first met them, I was not looking at System of a Down drummer and then System of a Down singer. I was interested in that people, you know, in that man. Tell me your story, you know,
right.
what's behind the whole thing, you know. And
how did you get here?
Yeah. So I think that in the end, this, when I look back, like when you're talking like this, you're just making me look back. I was just like meeting people and like trying to be as much present as I could, you know, and
nice,
like making real connections.
Nice.
And then at some point, it made sense to connect them, to talk to them about the band, you know, but it was not like it was planned, you know, it was not like, okay, I'm going to be friends
right
with this manager and this agent because in the future I might need them. It was just more like, at the end of the day, it would be having a beer or wine and just talking about life, and this would connect me with that person.
Right, right. So, see, and that's important. No, I was going to say, that's an important factor. That's a very big important factor, because you approach that in all aspects of what you're doing, especially even with Ego Kill Talent. I mean, you approach that with the people that are in your band. I mean, the thing about it is that a lot of people will get together and they'll start playing music, and they're like, okay, I can play bass, you can play guitar, he can play drums, you know, she can sing, you know, and whatever, and they get together. But you just described a process of relationships that were made before music and things happened. Does that make sense?
And among the band members, it's the same. I mean, it's the same. Like, we really care to each other. We learn. One thing that we noticed is that, like, we like to have the band. We really like to have, to eat together, you know, to have lunch or dinner. We like to be like, we live, it's crazy. We basically live, everybody in the same street.
Oh, nice.
Literally, yeah, Jean Raphael lives right across the street. And the studio is two houses down from my house.
Nice.
And Nipper lives like a couple blocks from here.
Nice.
Jonathan is the only one who's like always flying around, because his girlfriend lives in Rio, his family's from the south, and he's tried to be here as much as he can. But because we live close to each other, it's very usual for us to go like, hey, do you want to have dinner here? Just come up. My girlfriend is cooking, you know?
Right.
And then we'd just be talking, and not even talking music, like talking live, you know, and talking. We talk a lot about our own egos and like our own struggles, you know, and we're just talking this kind of stuff. And at the end of the day, we always conclude that, you know what, this is what makes this thing work. It's not being in the studio playing. It's just a part of it. But we being close to each other and being willing to show, like, me being willing to sit down with Jean, for instance, and say, look, man, that's the worst part of me, and it's killing me because this and that or whatever. And just being able to be so open and just to throw your shit in the table and say, hey, this is my shit, and yep, it's smelling, you know? Just being able to do that.
Right.
It really makes us close, because most of people, and especially in bands, it's an ego battle that nobody wants to show imperfection.
Ah.
You know? So everybody wants to show, like, yeah, what are you talking about? I don't make mistakes, you know? And it's if you look closely, it's same thing with personal relationships. Like your wife or your husband or your girlfriend or whatever, a lot of the times, people are not willing to look to each other and say, hey, I have this problem, you know, I'm so insecure, and I'm just so afraid of losing you, you know?
Right.
Much more like, hey, I don't give a fuck if you go away, I don't care, you know? But deep inside, you're like, you're shitting your pants. You know what I mean?
Right. Absolutely. Oh. You're right. But you're being surreal, and you know, and again, you guys are very in tuned with, you know, kind of what needs to happen. And it's so funny, because sometimes we'll do stuff here, you know, at the studio, and I'll do events, you know, and I'll have bands come in and out, and we'll have fun, and I'll try to get everybody to socialize. I'm like you, though. I'm the first person to, like, I throw down like all this food. You know what I mean? And it's not like, yeah, I order a lot. Like, I like make it like at home. I'm half Thai, half American. Okay. So I got the Asian thing going, right? And you know how Asians are. Okay. All about making sure you feed the planet. And, you know, and it's so funny, because everybody comes in and it's like, you know, about all this food. And they're like, what is this? It's like, I want you to talk to each other. You know, I want you to have conversations. Yeah. I want you to get to know each other, you know, and yeah, and see what happens. But yeah.
That's also what makes a scene happen.
Yes. Your band name is pretty much a lesson to anybody that's wanting to know how to make it in the business. Just if everybody pays attention to the name of your band, Eagle Kill talent, then that right there is the biggest lesson that you guys put out there. But there's a bunch of younger, you know, younger bands, you know, younger individuals, you know, they're artists, and then they come up to you. They've got maybe 30 seconds. They got 5 minutes to go, you know, hey, what can I do? What's the very first piece of information that you're going to give them to help tell them how they can be in this business?
Yeah, it's, well, first of all, like I said, I would always go first to the art, to the music, you know, before anything. So first of all, don't worry about being a rock star.
Nice.
It's not about that. It's really about worry about making music that you think it really expresses what you're feeling. You know, because my experience, and I've been there myself, it's like I had a band before, and I said, okay, you know, I want to be in the band. So I put up a band, but that's not the right reason. You know, it got to be, okay, I want to be in the band because I want to say something.
Right.
You know, because I want to express something.
Right.
So don't worry about, like, being a rock star or not, it's a byproduct.
Nice.
You know, express yourself somehow. See, what do you want to say to the world? What are you feeling that you want to share? And focus on that when you make your music. That's where you should focus when you make your music. So this is one thing, that's the artistic part, right? And the other part, like the business part, is just don't wait for no one. Don't wait for a label. Don't wait for no one. Do it yourself.
Perfect.
Because our experience is that when you do it yourself and things start to happen, the other things fall in place. Like a label will come in, you know, and or even with the radio situation. If you are doing your songs, like I said, you know, there is truth to you, and you're also at the same time got to be honest. Do you think that what you're doing, is it crossing the bridge to other people, or is it something that only you understand?
Yes.
If it's something that only you understand, it's not bad. But, you know, accept that you're making music just for yourself.
Nice.
But if you want to cross the bridge, be open to hear advices, you know, and that's the challenge. You know, how can I make something that is truth to me that at the same time it's people can understand? Because some musicians, they are just so good that they make music that only them understand also, you know. So you got to be open to that. And like I said, business side, work hard, things will fall in place if you're doing for real, you know, and you're putting the best of you on it. And like for many years I would think, okay, when I sign with a label, then that means success is coming. You know, it's not that case anymore.
No.
Maybe in the old days, but nowadays it's like, when you do things right, your music gonna do well on the internet. You know, your show's gonna be more and more full of people. The labels will come, you know, the radio will come, the TV will come, but focus on your music and spreading it.
There it is. That's some fantastic advice. And it did cross. It crossed the pond and it found its way to Memphis, at least.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You know, and that's the beautiful thing about what we have going on. Honey, I want to thank you for stopping down your crazy, crazy world and spending some time with me
live
here on Radio Memphis Around the World. I've enjoyed having Eagle Kill Talent as Artist of the Month, you know, for Radio Memphis. We've been playing a rock block of your music, you know, every Saturday. I've been talking about you guys and, you know, talking about the cool stuff. And so it sounds like also that there's more and more that's going to be coming, and everybody needs to be paying attention to you guys, because you're talking about new music. You're talking about some tour dates. You're talking about recording in L.A. at an iconic place that we can't discuss because we can't discuss it yet.
I promise we can discuss when we can talk about it, when it's like the dates are done and everything.
Perfect.
And we talk about it.
You know what? Okay, I'm going to hold you to it. I'm going to hold you to that. When things get really kind of crazy, and you know what's even funnier is that when you guys, and especially when you guys, you know, you come to the States and you're in L.A., oh my God, how easy is that going to be for you guys to kind of check in from wherever you're checking in from and be like, let's do that. In fact, Theo, this is what we'll do. We'll do a catch-up interview. And on that catch-up interview is when you're going to tell everybody where you're checking in from.
Okay, awesome.
How about that? That would be fantastic. Well, listen, what I'm going to do is I'm going to play another song for everybody from Eagle Kill Talent. And I have to tell you, My personal favorite is We All, the acoustic version. I sit there and I've listened to that over and over. And you're right. If it reaches and it makes sense to somebody else and it makes a difference to them, you know, it's fantastic. And I have to tell you, man, I've listened to it over and over and over again. And I'm just like,
that's so nice.
Yeah. So, now for We All, do you want to, before you go, do you want to tell everybody what that song meant?
Well, I remember when I wrote the lyrics with Jonathan, mm-hmm. and the first phrase that comes to my mind was actually the first phrase, that is, I'll meet you there, and no matter if you want. And it's about, you know how in life sometimes it's you are just putting so much pressure on yourself, like, oh, I should have more money at this point in my life, or I should be married at this point, I should have won at this point.
Right.
Like, we're always trying to achieve something that the media and our family and everybody tells us that we should achieve.
Right.
And so I was thinking, it was like someone who is very in peace talking to someone who is desperate about having to achieve something. And when you say, I'm going to meet you there in one matter if you want, we're really talking about, like, death or afterlife or whatever, you know. It's like, man, at the end we're gonna meet. It won't matter who wins and who loses. Well, at the end of the day, what is winning, you know?
Right.
I mean, we're all going down a long way to nowhere, and there's no finish line, you know, which is the chorus. So it's really about, don't put so much pressure in yourself. It just doesn't make sense.
Nice. You know? Nice. I needed that message, so thank you.
Yeah. Everybody does.
Best place that everybody can keep up with you guys with everything you've got going on is at the egokilltalent.com. Is that the best place?
Yeah, I think that probably Instagram and Facebook. It's the social media we use the most.
Okay.
But also, yeah, check out the website. We're always posting things that are happening to us there.
Perfect. Well, I think we're going to rock out to you some more, honey. I want you to enjoy your afternoon. Please tell all the other boys I said hey. And
thank you. I will. And I'm going to tell them that we had a great talk and that you're doing a very good stuff for us. Thank you so much.
Absolutely, honey. Yes. We'll talk soon, okay?
Talk soon.
All right, baby. Talk to you later.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you later.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, right there, Ego Kill Talent. And, of course, you know, that was Theo Vandeleau, who plays bass guitar, along with everything else. And, of course, you know, calling in, you know, for everybody in the band, Jean Dolabella, you know, of course, you know, you've got Jonathan Dore, you got Nieper Boaventura, you know, as well as in the band. And you know, this is just, you know, some fantastic stuff. And I am so glad that we were able to sit down and talk because, you know, Theo had such fantastic information, you know, for those of you that may have been tuned in and wanting to know kind of what it takes in order to make things work for your band. And the story is amazing, absolutely amazing. So you guys know you need to keep up with what they've got going on. Definitely at least go to the website. Make sure you go to egokilltalent.com. You can learn a little bit more about their background. You can also find out if they got anything new coming up, including fall tour dates, all right, in the UK, as well as some special place in Los Angeles that is supposed to be iconic that they're going to be coming to record a new album at. And you know we're going to be on top of it because D wants to know what's going on. So in the meantime, what I need to do is let me go ahead and play another song for you guys from our Artist of the Month for Radio Memphis Around the World for August 2018. We All with Ego Kill Talent.
This is your Artist of the Month for Radio Memphis Around the World. The proceeding was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated and originally aired live on Radio Memphis. Any offers or advertisement contained may not still be valid. All rights are reserved and copyright is held by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. For more, look for all the RMOD players at radio-memphis.com.